morning. Now, it's been described as brave and shocking. Kia Abdullah's latest novel will have you on the edge of your seat. Take It Back is receiving rave reviews. Great news for Kia, who studied computer sciences at university. Kia's now based right here in North Yorkshire, and she joins me this afternoon. Good afternoon, Kia.
Afternoon. I'm so pleased to be here.
Well, it's lovely. And you're based in Richmond now.
I am, yes. So I'm a transplant from the south, and I haven't looked back.
Why did you want to come out of London and be somewhere so beautiful as Yorkshire?
Well, I was born and raised in London, very much a city girl, never thought I'd leave. My partner is originally from Norfolk, had lived in London for about 10 years, really enjoyed it, but eventually tired of it. And he just tried to convince me that there was a better life out there. We went travelling for a while, and when I came back to London, I just thought, this isn't a quality of life. Like, the commute, the busyness, the people are just are quite stressed, let's face it, on a daily basis. So because I'm a writer full time, I work from home, I didn't need to be in London. So we were looking in the Yorkshire Dales National Park, and it's quite expensive. We had a budget. So we decided to settle in Richmond, just outside the park. And it's beautiful. We literally live on a cobbled street. And yeah, it's beautiful.
Oh, well, welcome. We welcome you.
Thank
how long have you been here now?
Almost a year. So yeah. September last year we moved.
Yeah, you'll never go back.
No.
It's so beautiful.
I go back often for work and to see family and friends, and it always reminds me why I left.
Yeah. Oh, well, well done, and welcome.
Thank you.
So this is the fascinating thing, you know. So, you know, obviously put you into the computer, thought, oh, let's find out about this lovely lady. Computer sciences. It doesn't sit with becoming a novel writer, a thriller writer. Well, how do you get from there to there?
Sure, of course. You know, the strange thing is, when you talk to novelists, certainly early career novelists, you'll find that they often did things that didn't tally with what they're doing now, because it's always such a far-reaching dream to be a novelist. You know, I was raised in Tower Hamlets in East London, didn't know anybody who wrote, but I read as much as possible. I remember in my classroom, I ran out of books to read, and they had to go to the upper school to borrow some books. And so I was very much a voracious reader when I was younger. Always wanted to be a writer. When I was 14, I think is when you do your school experience or work experience, I was at the Sunday Times magazine, you know, which is incredible for a 14-year-old. But when I got to choosing my A-levels, I thought, you know, what's the earning power of being a journalist? What are my opportunities? I didn't know anybody who worked in the media. And so I chose quite an academic subject. Again, child of immigrants, you know, if you're not a doctor or a lawyer, you better be some sort of other professional. So that also played into my decision. So did computer science at university.
A proper job. You got yourself a proper job.
I got myself a proper job, yes. Which my mother is still lamenting the fact that I've given up that proper job. She still doesn't understand what I do. So yeah, worked in IT for 3 years, always never gave up the love of writing. You know, always every time I saw somebody getting published, I thought, wow, you know, what a dream. And just by chance, I contacted Asian Woman magazine, which was a niche glossy aimed at South Asian women, and pitched a column to them. They took it, and just seeing my name in print was amazing. And I thought, this is what I want to do. Gave up my job, took a 50% pay cut at some point. It took a while to get published with a big publisher, but here I am, and
fantastic.
Take it back.
So this is your third novel?
It is. That's... The other two were with very tiny publishers. Barely made a dent, let's be honest. So to be published by HarperCollins for me was a dream come true. And, you know, no one talks about rejection. So there was a lot of rejection along the way. It was very difficult to get an agent, for starters. But once I did get an agent, the book deal came quite quickly. And yeah, it was just a dream come true. Signed a 2-book deal in the midst of writing the second one now, and kind of feel like living the dream.
Well, you really are, aren't you? And sitting there at your desk in Richmond, you know, that must be absolutely lovely now.
Absolutely. We've got a castle view. There's Richmond Castle, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
You know, in London, I was looking over the bins. So...
It's quite a difference. Quality of life and
exactly.
All that. And so tell us about Take It Back, because this is one of these things that as I read the blurb about it, I'm thinking Tom Cruise, I'm thinking, you know, one of these exciting films, you know, right. That sort of has you on the edge of your seat all the way through.
Oh, well, maybe one day. It is courtroom drama. He has been in The Firm and A Few Good Men. But so it's a...
Did you order the Code Red? Did you? Sorry, I just had to know.
So Take It Back is a courtroom drama in which a 16-year-old girl called Jodie accuses 4 boys of rape. Jodie is white and disabled, and the 4 boys are from Bangladeshi and Pakistani backgrounds. it's set in East London, and the kind of case immediately draws the attention of the press and the public and becomes a bit of a firestorm. I wrote it not just as a gripping courtroom drama, even though that's what I wanted it to be at heart. You know, I want you to sit down and not be able to put it down until you find out what's going to happen. But I also wanted to tackle contemporary issues around race, faith and gender, how you are treated based on the colour of your skin or what your name might be. And the key message of the book really is that we do things, both good and bad, because we choose to do them as individuals, not because of the colour of our skin or our faith or our gender and so on.
Really interesting then. And what kind of feedback have you had? Because as I've said, a lot of it has been, yeah, this is fantastic, and people loving your work.
Yeah, I mean, I have been bowled over. And to be honest, I was expecting a little bit more criticism just because it does cover things like...
Well, it's controversial.
It is controversial. You know, yeah. And the vast majority of people have been incredibly positive. You know, if you go to Amazon and Goodreads, a crazy amount of 5-star reviews, which is so heartening for a writer. From the Muslim community, it's been largely positive. I've had people read early versions. Two Muslims are quoted on the back cover, one of whom is Nazir Afzal. He was the former chief crown prosecutor of the CPS, depicted in the BBC drama Three Girls as one of the people who fought for justice for the victims of Rochdale. That said, I did have a young Muslim woman stand up at a literary festival and say to me that she was really disappointed that this was yet another negative story about Muslims and that she wouldn't be reading it, which I found really sad.
How could you make that judgment without reading it?
Well, yeah, you know, you kind of give up your right to criticise a work if you don't engage with it. And I did seek her out afterwards and say, look, the whole point of the book is to show that Muslims aren't this homogenous entity that is portrayed in the media. We are individuals. We do things because we make choices. And she still said, no, you know, there's so many negative narratives out there about Muslims and you're just adding to it, which I felt was stripping me of my individuality in a different way. You know, the media treat us as this, parts of the media treat us as this kind of monolith. And her, by saying to me, you need to write a positive story, is not giving me the agency as a writer that I deserve.
You have sort of, almost by accident, haven't you, become a bit of a spokesperson to representing Muslim women. I mean, are you happy with that? Or is it something that weighs heavy on you?
It's tricky because I have, you know, people say, oh, you know, you tackle taboo subjects and you have done for ever since you were younger. And I just think, well, this is my lived experience. And because it doesn't tally with certain people's more positive experiences, it doesn't mean that this is the experience, full stop. I think the key is to diversify and just have more voices, because if you have a greater number of Muslim writers, those positive stories will come about naturally. Look, I discuss issues of race in the context of a gritty thriller, which is quite hard hitting. Another Muslim author, like, say, Aisha Malik, who's written This Green and Pleasant Land, she also tackles race, but does it in a really humorous, light touch way. A third Muslim writer might do it in the context of a rom-com or a sci-fi novel. And so the more of us there are, the less pressure on one or two of us to write those positive stories, because they'll come about naturally.
That's one aspect of what you do, but you're also a travel writer, which is lovely. What a lovely thing to do.
Yes,
so I want, in one word then, the best place you've ever visited.
Oh, one word. Samoa.
Really?
Samoa.
Why?
Yeah. Just because it's so beautiful, because obviously it's in the middle of the South Pacific, but the people are just so lovely. I remember one day, Peter, my partner, and I were walking down the street, and there were this group of five lads, really big and harsh looking, and we thought, God, this is a deserted street, what's going to happen? And they walked past us going, talofa, which is a local word for hello, and just made us feel so welcome. And food's
fantastic.
Great. Yeah, it's just beautiful.
Well, I hope you enjoy your time in North Yorkshire. I hope you're here for a
long
time. Thank you so much for coming in. Take It Back by Kia Abdullah is out now, published by HarperCollins.